Humanity might have eventually stumbled upon all the Jewish insights, but we cannot be sure. All the great conceptual discoveries of the human intellect seem obvious and inescapable once they had been revealed, but it requires a special genius to formulate them for the first time. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah Episode 142, Wounding and the Sanctity of Life. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10 Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
It was in 1984 that an appellate court in Washington, D.C. addressed a case concerning the laws regulating labels on hot dogs, beef products. And it was in the course of this case that a young, clever, and wry judge by the name of Antonin Scalia seized the moment to quip that, quote, this case involving legal requirements for the content and labeling of meat products such as Frankfurters affords a rare opportunity to explore simultaneously both parts of the aphorism that no man should see how laws or sausages are made, end quote. This is amusing, apt, and insightful. But laws are only comparable to sausages when they are created by human beings. When, however, it comes to the mitzvot of the Torah, there the author is divine, and we must look at its laws and regulations as a source of enduring wisdom. It is with this in mind that we approach our mitzvah for the day, which is the commandment containing the series of rules and regulations pertaining to the chovel, one who wounds another. The most striking aspect of the rules relating to wounding is how different they are from laws pertaining to other torts, to one who has damaged property. In order to explain what I mean by this, let me cite another curious case from American law. This is Fisher versus Lowe, and I believe it is a case that was heard in the State Appellate Court of Michigan. The case involves damage that occurred to a tree when someone damaged it by driving a car into the unfortunate botanical specimen. The owners of the tree, insisting that there was a great deal of affection for it in the family, asked that the one responsible for damages pay for the tree to be healed by a botanist, by one with expertise for, well, treating trees. That is not what the lower court found, because a tree is not a person, and therefore, whatever damages may have been covered by insurance, one is not liable for the medical needs of the tree, no matter how beloved it may have been. This decision was affirmed by the appellate court, which actually gave us a poem that was a parody of the famous bit of verse about trees by Joyce Kilmer. Here is what the court gave us. We thought that we would never see a suit to compensate a tree, a suit whose claim in tort is pressed upon a mangled tree's behest, a tree whose battered trunk was pressed against a Chevy's crumpled crest, a tree that may forever bear a lasting need for tender care. Flora lovers though we three, we must affirm the court's decree. End quote. And from a halachic perspective, this is also the case. When it comes to damage to property, all that is necessary is compensation for the depreciation of the market value of the object or land that was damaged. It is only with the wounding of a human being that we suddenly find a whole host of other obligations. One who wounds another is obligated, according to Torah law, for nezek, that is basic damages, tsar, compensation for pain experienced, ripui, the payment of whatever medical bills are necessary to nurse the person back to health, shevet, recompense for what was lost if the injury involved abstention from that person's employment, and, interestingly, boshet, compensation for the emotional damages inflicted if the wounding involved embarrassment. Why is justice, compensation concerning the wounding of human beings, so profoundly different from compensation for damages to property? The answer, it would seem, is that property is subject to the ownership of individuals. But human life, as we have mentioned in other contexts, is the province of God alone. As Jews say in the penitential prayers of the high holiday season, Haneshama lach v'haguf shalach, the soul is yours, God, and the body is yours, God. To damage a person's car is to engage in an offense against another person, but to damage a human being is to engage in an offense against God, God who makes man and woman in his image, God who endows human life with inviolability and with sanctity. That is why, as Rabbi Shlomo Yosef Zevin explains in a well-known article to which this episode is indebted and which will be cited again in episodes to come, wounds inflicted on human beings is treated so differently in Jewish law. And because human life is so sacred, truly righting the wrong of wounding another involves thinking about that person's body and soul, both of which are ultimately the province of God alone, for the soul is his and the body is his. That is why compensation must be addressed to the wounded person's physicality, but also his or her existential experience. One must seek to atone not only for financial loss, but also for the emotional pain inflicted. Thus, the unique laws pertaining to one who wounds highlights the sanctity of human life in Jewish law. It was Paul Johnson, the Catholic historian, who, in his History of the Jews, reflected as follows, quote, "Certainly the world without the Jews would have been a radically different place. Humanity might have eventually stumbled upon all the Jewish insights, but we cannot be sure. All the great conceptual discoveries of the human intellect seem obvious and inescapable once they had been revealed, but it requires a special genius to formulate them for the first time. The Jews had this gift. To them we owe the idea of equality before the law, both divine and human, of the sanctity of life and the dignity of the human person, of the individual conscience and so of personal redemption, of collective conscience and so of social responsibility, of peace as an abstract ideal and love as the foundation of justice, and many other items which constitute the basic moral furniture of the human mind. Without Jews, it might have been a much emptier place." End quote. These principles are indeed at the heart of the laws of Judaism. But we Jews ultimately insist through our tradition that these insights were revealed to us by God, God who made human beings in his image, and who asks us to honor and uphold human dignity. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.